Up, Dolphin fans, welcome to another Dolphin Collective. Shout out to my guys Omar Kelly and Poop Art and TD for joining me, and also shout out to the sponsors, starting with SeatGeek. If you're going to be up there in New England, it's cold right now. In Jersey, it's like 31, and with the wind it feels cold. It's going to be cold on Sunday. Use SeatGeek, or if you're near Miami, you want to go to a festival, you want to go to something else, use the promo code FINS10, you get 10% off your first purchase, as well as Sleeper. We talk about them every Friday. Talk about the more or less fantastic fantasy app. Use the promo code HMA. You get 100% up to $100. We also are in podcast form. Go check us out. And if you want to become a member, hit the join next to subscribe. You got a ton of perks. We have updated the ending to shout out everyone who has been a member. You also get to use our face. You get to tell us, hey, I've been a member for this long, and ask us a question and we will answer it. So shout out to that. Let's real quick run around and talk about the game, and then we'll get into the topics. I was surprised that they played a full four quarters. Like, going in a halftime, I'm thinking to myself, oh, the wheels are about to fall off this thing. The offense didn't keep up, but they did do some really good stuff in that second half. Quinn Ewers definitely had a better game than he did the previous week, throwing some really nice passes. Again, he's showing glimpses. There's the one pass to Dulcich where he threw it with a defender in his face, and he got that sucker out quick. It was like a flick of the wrist. I'm telling you, he's showing some really nice signs that, you know, give him a chance next year, have him be a part of a legit competition. It's going to be interesting. Obviously, we got first-timers, first-time quarterback throwing a touchdown, first-time receiving touchdown, first-time interception. So it was a good game overall. It got scary at the end, but how's everyone feel? We'll start with TD. How did you think about this game?
I'm so conflicted in this game. It was a great game by the Dolphins, by the way. McDaniel's just messing my head up. But I guess we're going to talk about that at some point. But good game. And let's be honest, this was all about Quinn Ewers, trying to see what the young guy could do against a team that's actually competing for the playoffs. I was pleasantly surprised by the defense. But I will say this. I realize the Tampa Bay Buccaneers are not good. They're not good. And it made me go back to look at them, because we automatically assume, because we've seen what Baker's done over the last few years, especially with this wide receiving core. It's been like 7 weeks now. They haven't been able to find any like legitimate rhythm together. And I thought that they were a lot better than they showed. And I'm not going to take anything away from the Dolphins, though, because we did show up and perform against a desperate team. But above all, this was all about Quinn Ewers. And I think the rookie did an amazing job, in my opinion. The tale of two halves, but you have to understand the game flow. We started out running the ball well. We started out not running the ball well at first. They were shutting it down right away. And Mike McDaniel, finally, you said, okay, y'all want to go that route and to take away all the little short stuff? Quinn, it's on you. And he opened it up and let the kid cook. And he cooked for a half of football. Then when we got back in the second half, he didn't need to cook. We just ran the football very well because they finally respected him. I feel like the Tampa's defense said, okay, we're not going to play these games. Let's respect this kid because he done torched us in the first half. And then that opened up the A-chan run game, and they just didn't know what to do. But the biggest thing I want to bring up real quick, man, backed up in that end zone, the trust you have in your young guy on play action rollout, flick of the wrist to the tight end. That was pretty big to me. Some guys throw it backwards in the end zone in moments like that. But, you know.
Hey, leave Jacoby Brissett alone.
Who?
Jacoby Brissett. You remember Raiders game? Jacoby Brissett.
You remember Raiders game. And Jalen Waddle jumped when he didn't have to jump. Can we agree on that as well?
Just saying. But that's it. Go ahead, Adam.
Just to piggyback off what you said real quick, that's why when we get the schedule release, you can't really predict what's going to happen, because at the end of the year, the team might not be the same. But Alan, what's your thoughts on this game?
Yeah, and I want to piggyback off the point you just made right there, because the Dolphins caught a break in getting Tampa Bay when they got them, because early in the season they were cooking.
Yep.
Conversely, though, they caught Indianapolis in week one when Indianapolis had everything going, and Indianapolis yep. down the stretch was a shell of the team they were most of the season. So, and I know Omar is a big proponent of this. The schedule itself serves as a starting point, but what matters also is what the team looks like when at the time you play them. That makes a big difference. So, having said all that, I don't know if I'm going to go gaga over Quinn Ewers' performance the way TD just did.
You're a hater, Alan. You're a hater.
I know I'm not a hater. Can we just stop it? He was good, efficient, and not put him in the Hall of Fame just yet. I would say that. Tampa Bay did some really, really bad things that the Dolphins took advantage of. The touchdown pass to Theo Weiss, nice job, the deep safety, whose job it was to cover the deep receiver. Way to forfeit your responsibility on that play. And we're going to give big props to Zeke Biggers for the block field goal. Absolutely. Watch the replay. Look how low that kick is. So, again, it was a bad kick, and Zeke Biggers took advantage of it and did his job by batting it down. And then the Dolphins hung on at the end. Very disappointing because Bradley Chubb's got incentives hanging on the fact that the Dolphins would finish 20th in scoring defense, and they gave up a three-play, 91-yard touchdown drive at the end. And now they're 21st heading into the season finale, and holding down New England's not going to be easy. That's a different topic. So, solid game. They took advantage of a team that's really reeling, which is what good teams do, and this is very, very Dolphins because they tend to beat bad teams.
Wait, hold on, Alan. What did you say about that touchdown pass to Theo Weiss?
I said that the safety completely blew the play, not the cornerback who was responsible for Malik Washington near the sideline. And so, this is not just me saying this. Todd Bowles after the game was very quick to put the blame on Smith, who was a safety, who decided, Theo Weiss is good back there.
But aren't we going to give Quinn Ewers credit for reading it?
Sure.
Yeah.
But it's a bad busted coverage. I mean,
QBs need to find busted coverages.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
Yes. Didn't I just say the Dolphins did a very good job of taking advantage of the Bucs' mistakes? That's props to Quinn Ewers for that play. Absolutely.
All right.
Omar.
Sure. All right.
You when do you say something about the game, Doug?
I did. I started with it.
Omar clearly was paying attention.
It was just a soft setup. I think everything has pretty much been addressed. I want to praise Zeke Biggers, who I've consistently told you guys was going to be and is the top performing defensive lineman in that unit. I'm not just telling you that because he's a seventh round pick, but you could see he's a nose tackle. They needed a nose tackle. And on top of that, do you realize he's blocked 7 field goals in college?
Wow.
Yes, we knew that.
Dolphins clearly didn't. Why wasn't he doing this earlier in the season? Why wasn't he active earlier in the season? If not just to block field goals.
Yeah. You want Mike McDaniel fired. You want McDaniel fired.
You know me. I'm just a truth teller. I said this on 560, and I truly do mean this. I have gotten to the point where I don't care what they do. It's going to be dumb.
I can't even hate on that.
I know it's going to be dumb. I know it's going to be the wrong thing. So if it's not hire Mike Tomlin or hire John Harbaugh, it's going to be dumb. But anyway, Quinn Ewers. I'm not even one. You cannot evaluate a rookie until he has played 5 games, until defenses have a book on him and know how to play him, know what to take away from him. So everything right now is just a surprise to every defense that goes against him. With that said, impressive performance, efficient, no turnovers, running for a first down. You did a quick release. You threw a 25-yard pass without stepping into it on a rope. It was a zip.
Mm-hmm.
That was the most impressive throw I had seen all season. And I didn't even know you had that arm, Quinn. Like, props to you. I watched you all training camp. I ain't seen that pass. Zach Wilson would make that pass. You, I've never seen you make that pass. Props to you. I want to see you do well, but I'm not judging you until we get to a road game against the New England Patriots, and I see how you play in a game that kind of matters. And the reason I say it kind of matters is because I think everybody's job's at stake depending on how they perform in that game.
And it matters for New England, that's for sure.
So, yeah. Are we going to talk about McDaniel, or should I ask?
Let's talk about Mike.
Let's talk about McDaniel, because I don't think it's one of the topics I'm trying to read real quick. I know it's the main topic, and, you know, he got blown out, what, 5-6 times this year. He has his wins.
His team. His team got blown out.
He's in charge of the team. Now, obviously, Allen, consistently throughout the season, thinks not what he wants. I got to keep preferencing this. Thinks he'll be back, right? It has changed from like 70% down to 60.
Five blowouts. 70.
Five. There we go. Right now, it seems like it's probably up again that he'll come back because, hey, they didn't give up. You had the rookies come in, which we will talk about in the next topic. You know, they did this, that, blah, blah, blah. They get blown out by the Patriots, which is a real possibility because the Patriots are still trying to play for that number one seed. That's why we're playing at 4:00. They get blown out by the Patriots, and that is the last taste in Stephen Ross's mouth on the season. Does he get fired? Now, I think yes. I think if it's another blowout in a season where you are now a 7-win team after being an 8-win team and an 11-win team, you're just progressively getting worse. I think, yes, if they get blown out on Sunday and lose by 3 touchdowns, I think Mike McDaniel is fired. We'll go the other way. Omar, blowout loss, does he get fired or does it not matter and the decision's already been made?
I think it would be extremely irresponsible for the decision to already be made. However, I feel like, and I've been told the decision's already been made. I don't think anybody who is telling me or talking to me is talking to Steve Ross. But Mike is ultra confident these days. I've followed Mike just like Poupard. I know when he's nervous. I know when he's scared. I know when he's arrogant. I know when he's confident. And that Joker is confident as hell right now.
Oh, why did you call him?
Do you hear any stuttering or stammering lately? You don't.
But there's. I'm with you though. There's a whole different demeanor to him.
There's a whole different demeanor to him. But I will say for Steve Ross, it would be extremely, dangerously, stupidly irresponsible of him to make any decision until Black Monday arrives.
Exactly.
Black Monday arrives, say you're going to, it's after the game, so you're going to evaluate the situation, you're going to talk to all the individuals, you're going to talk to your trusted advisors, and then you're going to come to a decision. Do not make any decision until Black Monday arrives, and you see how this thing shakes out. In fact, I don't know, maybe you should ride to the playoffs. Maybe some coach loses a playoff game they shouldn't lose.
Preach.
And all of a sudden, fan base can't have him back. Like, let's say John Harbaugh or Mike Tomlin. I mean, I know I keep mentioning those two. Mm-hmm. Buffalo's head coach is pretty damn good. I take him in a second. This is Buffalo. Buffalo, it's on a platter for you. Go win. Go win the championship. What if you don't? I pray and hope that Steve Ross has learned from his mistakes of the past, and there are so many for us to go over. But I'm pretty certain he hasn't.
Hasn't what?
Learned from his mistakes.
Oh, okay. but what's your prediction? We know where you stand.
My prediction is I think Mike is safe. And the reason I think Mike is safe is because Mike is ultra confident right now.
You make a very valid point because we saw, what was it, the Lions head coach. I forgot his name. He was with the Dolphins for a bit. He got fired after they were what, like a 12-win team? And
oh, won
a
Jim Caldwell. Team?
Yeah. So, yeah, I don't know, like, I don't think it's going to happen, but, like, say all of a sudden they move on from Dan Campbell or something like that, which is not going to happen. But, yeah, that's a very good possibility because Mike Tomlin doesn't make the playoffs. He could get fired, and then Harbaugh gets in, and he gets one and done, and he can get fired. So, yeah. Alan.
Everything Omar said. It's like
staying the same.
Specifically, the vibe that Mike is giving off, that he is talking like a man who knows he's coming back. And Anthony Weaver, I think it was it Anthony Weaver? No, one of the assistant coaches had a little comment in the way, no, it was John Embry might have been. And the way it was phrased was like, oh, okay. It was kind of like a little, if you want to really read between the lines, it was kind of suggesting that they're coming back.
It was about the program, and I forget what he said about the program. We got to do it earlier, start earlier, or something like that.
And we'll talk about those things next offseason.
But you would be thinking about that anyway if you're John Embry and you do. But here's the problem that I have, and I know we're gonna continue to go with TD. Here's a problem that I have with Mike coming back. Assistants are gonna flee. Because you know it's an unstable situation. Mm-hmm. Free agents aren't going to come here because mm-hmm. you know it's an unstable, unless you overpay, because you know it's an unstable, or unless you go get the money back. And pretty much, you right, unless we're going with Champ Kelly, you're going to run off the better GMs because they want to hire their own people.
Do I get to go, or did you like cut me off and then you're skipping me to TD? Is that how that works?
Well, you said you agree with everything Omar said. So. Well,
I wanted to put in my own words. I'm like not a puppet that goes with Omar and says whatever he said. No, the right thing to do is absolutely for Stephen Ross to take his time. Certainly no statement right after the game against New England. That would be such a horrible look. Take your time. There's no need to say anything. There's no need to say anything. McDaniel's under contract for the next 3 years because his extension kicks in 2026. So let it play out a little bit. But I do think that I think the decision has been made to a 95% degree.
Do you think they keep them so there's a possibility of getting a high draft pick next year? Do you think it's like a boom or bust type thing?
I think it's one of those as – part of it is again, Mike, you've shown me the ability to keep the troops together when times are tough. Now, 2 years in a row, there's also a possibility, and this was, I'm sure, Mike McDaniel and or his agent are telling Stephen Ross, let me see what I can do with a different quarterback that maybe doesn't have the same kind of athletic limitations that Tua has had for the past couple of years.
Kind of hitch yourself to that guy, though. So yeah. That's where my gripe with McDaniel is.
But you were asked to.
You got the head coaching job because you hitched yourself to somebody, and then you advocated for said player to get paid. So it's like,
McDaniel can go. Well, nobody knew the physical skills were going to erode, or
everyone knew.
Sorry,
everyone knew.
No, that his body was going to start breaking down.
That type of injury, that contract should have definitely been structured with more security in it for the team. And it was horrible. It was just horrible, horrible decision.
There are a lot of
contract after the 1 year where he didn't miss a game because of an injury.
Yep.
There are a lot of imperfections in it.
TD, what's your thoughts on this? So McDaniel coming back. You think the last game matters? What's your thoughts?
I hate this situation for the Miami Dolphins. McDaniel got to go even if we beat New England by 100, in my opinion. Like, we can't forget how we got here, man. Like, I don't care that you start out great and bomb the rest of the season, or you start out bombing and then end the rest of the season great. It's still been the same destination every year. Like, let's not forget that. It's the same destination. As a matter of fact, it's regressed.
Yeah.
The outcome is actually the lowest it's ever been. Yep. Like, let's not forget this. And it makes me sick when I hear, it's all based on if he keeps the troops together.
No, it's not all based on that, but that's a big part.
Like, it's a big part.
They keep fighting for him. They haven't quit on him.
Man, I see a whole bunch of people fighting for themselves. They already got enough to fight for. They're not worried about that, man. Like, no. I don't think, like, okay, I think they love the man, and I think they respect him. But they all, we got a roster full of people fighting for their own way.
I think that this team buckled early in the season because they knew what was at stake, and they couldn't handle the pressure, which is very common for Dolphins. And when they started 1-6, they were like, screw it, let's play for each other, let's play for one another. And that helped them bond and helped them gel. And, you know, but they continue to fight for this coaching staff, because it's not just Mike. It's their tight end coach. It's their running back coach. It's their wide receiving coach. It's their cornerback coach. It's their safety coach.
So I'll respect that. And the evidence is there, obviously, right? But I'm sorry, you did hit yourself the Tua. Mm-hmm. You had an opportunity to get out of it, but you did the total opposite by advocating for it to continue. And above all, there's too many inconsistencies with Mike McDaniel. You don't want to know what's funny? The last 2 weeks, where did all the operation issues go? How did they just disappear all of a sudden? I mean, we had a whole season of just operation issues, different bits of operations. It's to this, you know, and all of a sudden it's gone, you know,
I think they simplified.
Okay. So why wasn't the simplification administered earlier? Why wasn't, and this is my thing, McDaniel to me waits till it's just too late too many times to make an adjustment. And then when it works for a few weeks, it actually goes back to getting bad again. A lot of the things we talk about, the things he's doing bad, he might go fix it. And 3 weeks later, it's back to the same. Like these temporary spurts of, oh, McDaniel fixed this or he fixed that, it always goes to crap again anyway. I just think that too much was put on one thing, and that's all that mattered to a lot of people. I just don't want to name names. Too much focus was put on one person. How about that? All right. And I think that everything you did was around that, and that was the focus. And we forgot about all the other things that a head coach is responsible for. And I'm talking about years, because he fixed at the time, Tua Tagovailoa. He fixed it. This was the big hoorah for Mike McDaniel. Everybody loved him. Oh my gosh, look at what he's doing. But as that started to decline, it's like he's clueless. It's almost like he's been clueless. I'm sorry. I'm not a fan of
him. In what way? Because I don't think there are as many operational issues as the fans do. While Tua might complain a lot about receivers not knowing what they're doing, genuine question, when's the last time you seen a motion in this offense? Like, it's been a while.
But Omar, another thing he's responsible for, making sure the whole roster is ready to come in and play and take on their assignment right away.
Or come in the halftime. Disagree with you on that.
Like we can't even run certain plays because of this or that or that or this. This is all on the head coach.
That happens throughout the season because of injuries or circumstances or situations. I mean, I don't think there are many teams, and this is not an excuse for Mike, because as I told y'all earlier, I really don't care. I don't think there are many teams that would lose a dynamic player like Tyreek Hill and just keep on going like, oh, we just gonna keep on marching on without a nice big month-long period of adjustment.
That's what they had. I get that, but my last point, this is where I just cannot rock with Mike. Your quarterback couldn't run a two-minute offense.
That's his arm. Don't blame it. It doesn't matter.
Like you didn't prepare. Like you started to see it fade. What is our supplement here?
Don't blame that on Mike. That's not Mike.
How long do you think he knew he couldn't run it, Omar?
Oh, probably like week three.
No. He ran a 2 minute offense against the Carolina Panthers. Don't lie on that, man.
How long?
Didn't he run 2 minute against Buffalo?
Yeah, he threw a pick.
The second time
they won 30-13.
Yeah, okay.
Omar, I'll bail you out here. He did against the Chargers, actually.
But to TD's point, though, back when you know, Tua was at the height of his career in 2023. Every time we came out of the half, they ran a 2-minute offense, marched down the field, scored a touchdown. It's like every time we got the ball after the half, it was boop, 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 boop. It was 2-minute offense. Boom, scored a touchdown. Like every time the script was there, they did what they had to do. But to also piggyback off of TD, last week we were talking about how predictable his play calling was. You can't tell me that Dulcich play where he got tackled for a loss wasn't predictable.
You talking about a screen to a tight end?
Stop running.
I mean, I don't know.
I don't even know if that was a screen.
I don't even know what that was.
That was a little fake pass that Tua used to do.
I didn't see that coming. Play of the season that was called.
Third and goal, and he threw the screen to Dulcich, and it was a tackle for about 7-yard loss when Jalen Wright gets you down to the 4. And you throw it 3 times. It's like you're so predictable, dude, to the point where the defenders were pointing out that there's going to be a tight end screen.
It was the greatest thing ever.
2020, like last year, the Texans, oh, it's going to be a screen to Jonnu, and they snuffed it out. It's like, dude, change it up. Stop running bubble screens. Third down, you know what we're going to do? We're going to run an end around. Why are you running an end around on 3rd and 5? God forbid, thank God we were up by
Mike,
10.
Mike is
where are you though when the plays work?
They're fantastic, but they're few and far between.
The play
in the red zone, Mike McDaniel struggles.
Mike McDaniel is a good guy.
They've always been a top red zone team in the NFL. They've always been a top red zone
in the past few years.
Have we really gotten in the red zone much this year?
Not really.
I don't know.
Are we changing the topic now, though?
No, but Mike McDaniel is a good person. I just think that people are sympathetic to him.
I don't care if he's a good person. I'm not sympathetic to him. I don't care. Like, I'm just telling you, Mike, I don't have a problem with Mike as a play caller. I don't have a problem with game operation issues. The only problem I really have with Mike is halftime adjustments. You're 4-23 when trailing at the half. That's a problem.
What's Mike's strength? What's this?
Game planning and creative play design. Like, I was watching the Rams game. Mm-hmm. I've been watching the 49ers game. Mm-hmm. And I don't watch those teams on a regular basis, but
in the Bears,
you now see a lot of things, and it's always the same tree. It's always his buddies. Always all of his buddies. They are running the same crap. And I swear to you, Mike started it running it first.
You know the problem I have with that? I would love to see a lot of those guys.
Green Bay, too.
I would like to see a lot of those guys' creativity work when they don't have stacked rosters.
Who has a stacked roster?
Who does it? Who doesn't in that tree right now?
San Fran, they got a running back. I don't even know who their receivers are.
Man, you got Christian McCaffrey in the store.
We got Tyreek Hill. Really?
I mean, is he the center of all or just about all?
The Rams.
Yeah, but he's not the bigger guy.
Y'all act like Puka is Tyreek Hill. He's not. He's good. Yeah.
He's the number 2 receiver in the NFL.
Man.
He's good, but is his body a work?
Devontae Adams has 14 touchdowns as well.
Who?
Devontae Adams.
Yeah, and he hasn't even been playing.
Working. I just know that Shanahan, when Purdy gets hurt, Mac Jones have done a good job this year, but in the last 3 years, every time he got hurt, that team suffered. This year, Mac Jones did some pretty good things. And let me not just say Purdy, but remember when Debo went out, when their whole core went out, they lost like 3 games in a row.
Last year, their whole team was hurt.
Yeah, but when you're the guru, you make it happen regardless.
You don't.
These DCs. Well, Quinn Ewers made it happen yesterday, baby.
against a team that's really checked out on the head coach.
A crappy team. Thank you. Thank you, Doug. Some of the
stand up, baby.
Listen, I love Tom Bowles. I have a friendship with him. I respect him. Casey Rogers as well. That Tampa Bay team has checked out. Mm-hmm. They have checked the hell out.
That's crazy.
And it happens sometimes. It just happens. Like, if they beat Atlanta next week, is it Atlanta?
Carolina.
Yeah. Carolina about to put the foot smack down on them because Carolina wants it. I don't think Atlanta wants it.
Yeah, but Carolina.
Real quick, just want to correct something. Adam, I said number two receiving yards.
That's what?
People always try to play gotcha. It's so tiring.
I
said number two receiving yards.
I'm like 17 years into the gotcha game.
It's so tiring. It's like people,
bro, relax. Hey, when you get to double digit years, holla at me. Like,
I'm getting there. I got two more years. I'm at 10. Jeez. Anyway, so let's get to the rest, and then we'll get to these donations. Rookies. We saw, like I said, a lot of first passing touchdown, first receiving touchdown, first interception. We also saw Zeke Biggers with the blocked field goal. Jordan Phillips had a great play on a screen where he pushed that center back at least 3 or 4 yards and then made the tackle on the running back on the screen. Are we seeing a turn here? Is there a core of the youth that we can maybe build around?
TD.
Maybe being the operative word.
Oh, of course, yeah. There's.
I'm going to go first this time because I haven't gone first yet.
Oh, yeah.
You then never go first
because I'm going. I'm going
to. You want to be diagonal from me. You got to be either one of these.
I didn't choose a spot. You chose.
He probably has a problem with the spot too.
I know, like bottom right over here.
Hey, put me at the bottom next week, okay? I want to be at the bottom.
But I'm going to be grumpy old guy over here and be Vic Fangio. And it's like, or who is it when Bill Parcells is again, the eight rookies, the eight draft picks have shown that there's something there to suggest. And I see stories from the beat guys suggesting, look at the contributions that the Dolphins are getting. And I'm like, whoa, simmer down. Jesus. Like, guy from ESPN who breaks down film and then has become now, he used to be with the Ringer, I think now is with them. Ben Solak did his all rookie team, and certainly not saying that's gospel, whatever. First and second team at every position. You know how many Dolphin players were on it? Goose egg, not one of them. Can we say there's one of them? You look at any of those guys and look, oh yeah, that guy's going to be a dude. No, what we've seen is progress. Probably. And there's not one of them where I think right now you'd say, yeah, forget about that dude.
They're not Channing Tindall.
Correct. To make the leap from that to saying, while the Dolphins have a foundation set, I think it's a little bit much for me. So let the hate begin. I'm a hater.
Yeah, you're not alone. Let me go. Rookie class, they've turned the corner. They were a big problem when the team was 1-6. Every single one of them was struggling. And they've gotten to the point where now they're NFL veterans. Do I see any NFL starters? I don't know about that. I will make the point, and I challenge Poupard because Poupard will know this. Poupard will come up with the concept. Outside of touchdowns, name me the rookie who's made the most impact plays, because I would argue to you that it's Zeke Biggers, and he's only played like half the season.
My God, when are you guys getting married? Holy moly!
No. How many impactful plays has Jordan Phillips? And I agree, Jordan Phillips has been the most consistent.
Yes, yeah.
Without a, he's probably the top rookie. He's the most consistent. Gotcha. But
okay,
where the flashes? I know. Doug said he made a play last week, which, you know, props to him.
But his job description is to do the dirty work to free up the linebackers. So he's not going to make a lot of splash plays. To me, it's been, I think, Jordan Phillips. And even at that, he's been solid. But to say he's been a star as a rookie, I think that's much.
He hasn't been the best rookie.
Who?
We have one rookie that nobody talks about who is literally blossoming in front of our eyes and becoming a major contributor on this team. Quinn Ewers, ladies and gentlemen, let's not forget our 7th round pick. that is your rookie of the year on the Miami Dolphins. Ever since he's been playing, everybody's been elevated. Even the rookies are stepping it up. Okay. Let's call
what was,
it.
What was the result? He started two games. What was the result?
1-1.
I'm just saying.
7.2 passer rating.
That's right. And climbing. And protecting the football even better.
Yeah.
That's your guy. That's your rookie.
He threw into some double coverages. He got away with some.
Don't talk to me about getting away with some. Some people have been 6 years that got away with a lot.
Hey, he's gone. We moved on.
Exactly.
Talking about yours now. No. Don't go back. Don't look in the past.
What's going to happen?
Don't look in the rearview mirror. We're talking about yours. We're talking about the future, my man. We're going forward.
I'm done with that.
People in the chat don't want to be done with that. I'm done with that. We're going forward. We're talking about Quinn Ewers. Fantastic game. Let's not.
Can I steal the Mike Tomlin?
The double coverages he's throwing into as well.
Can I steal the Mike Tomlin line from today when he was asked about losing to Cleveland? He goes, I'm looking the windshield. The windshield is a lot bigger than the back window.
Rearview mirror.
So a little stat here from Kenneth Grant among rookie defensive tackles. Third in pressures, tied for first in sacks, third in run stuffs.
Okay.
Growth.
Yeah.
That's all I'm saying.
You're talking about this week? Or this season?
This season.
Growth. Yeah, that was from Kyle, and I'd like to know where he got those stats, because that's like it's either a very weak rookie class or
I think it's a weak rookie class. But it's growth, and that's what it's all about. Give him 3 years; it's growth.
14th overall pick, and can I see more flash than just growth? I mean,
I didn't see it out of Christian Wilkins, really.
I saw somewhat of Christian Wilkins as a rookie, and I've seen
him. I agree.
A little bit more.
I agree.
A little bit. Will Waddle hit 1,000 yards? He currently is 19th. Among receiving yards. I have to preference that. 19th among receiving yards. He has 910. He needs 90 yards to hit 1,000. I'm going to be just straight honest with you, and I'm just going to throw it out there. No. Whoever wants to take it next.
I think Mike will get it done for Waddle because he wants to get it done for Waddle.
And he got a quarterback who can get it done. Oh, my
Jesus. God, you're going to be like that for the next couple of years?
Yes.
The minute he loses it, has a 3-turnover game, he's going to tell you he's the worst quarterback in Dolphins history.
Hey, at least I'm consistent. I go how they go. He start bumming it in the ball.
You are a fair weather evaluator.
You weren't like that last week. By the way, here's a problem for Jalen Waddle in this game. If the Patriots decide to stick Christian Gonzalez on him, that ain't going to be easy because Christian Gonzalez can play cornerback.
Also, Jalen finished the game with injured ribs.
He did.
I'm not sure he'll be practicing this week. So I'll take that back. He's not making 90. He's not making 90 yards.
I think it's important to make the attempt for him to get it. You know, like make it a vocal piece. Make sure you dial up some specific plays to try to give him an opportunity to reach that milestone. That goes a long way with camaraderie. That goes a long way with morale. And maybe not to troll, but getting that connection with Ewers and Waddle together, because it's not there. It's still not there. Mm-hmm. It's not there. That's something that you would like to see develop if you're going to move forward with Quinn Ewers. You need to get that connection together, unless you're still willing to trade Waddle in the offseason. But, yeah, you got to try, though. This team ain't playing for nothing but each other, so help a brother out, just like you should be fighting to give Chubb his incentive. So, yeah.
$5.2 million now.
Good answer.
Why is it going up?
Because he just got $900,000 for 8 sacks. Potentially got 9.
So he is. So he don't get it. The sack bonus.
He don't get none. He don't. He gets one. He doesn't get majority of everything until they're the top 20 unit.
So they can't score more than 23.
What?
The points total is already. Let me see what.
No, they're three. They've given up 3 more points. They're 21st. They've given up 3 more points than Atlanta, which plays New Orleans. And there might be a team or two in the vicinity that could affect the Dolphins' range. What the Dolphins can't do is do what they did against Cincinnati and give up 45, because then that's going to
New England ain't scored less than 30. Man, they scoring 30 every week.
They're 21st in points.
And he needs to get to 20 or 19?
20. Top 20 in points allowed.
And what are the who's 20th?
Atlanta.
And how many per game?
It's not well. They've given up three
per game. The Dolphins are trailing them by 2 points.
I thought it was three.
We just got to outscore them.
2 points. No.
Or not let them. Keep them. Yeah, below.
Damn, it's 2 points.
Hey, you know Chubb is. I said last week he's gonna go off. He went off. He's now.
Hold up. In the season finale, all he's got to do is tell his teammates that they're gonna be watching that Atlanta score.
Like, how much money do you think he's gonna offer those 11, 12 guys? Listen,
I think everybody get a GMC truck.
Yeah, that's what. Side note. Do we all now see why Joe Burrow's offensive line doesn't block for him? Do you see what that man got his offensive line for Christmas? Fossils. He got them dinosaur fossils.
He's done some bigger stuff, but they deserve fossils this year. they lucky they got it.
Do y'all know what you got his teammates?
Do
y'all know what you got his teammates?
Wasn't it like
Man, why are we looking in the rearview mirror?
Was it a simulator?
No.
We're not talking about play on the field.
Got them.
Systems, right?
It was like a sound system. big sound system, like speaker. Like you could throw you could DJ a party with it. And every rookie had to take their veteran's sound system to the car. So all you saw were rookies with the dolly carts, and the rookies had to take all the Christmas gifts to the car. It was the cutest thing ever.
That's too funny.
And Herbert got his teammates gift cards to Outback for how well they protected him all year. It's a joke. Is this thing
I would win a Longhorn. I like a Longhorn better than Outback. But anyway, who
is
needs
blooming onion?
There's Outback, yes, is blooming onion. Yes. If you eat that, be very close to a toilet. That's all I'm going to say. Who needs to play in the finale? I will say this. I'm rarely right to some people, but I need to pat myself on the back. I said Aaron Brewer wasn't going to play. I said they're going to shut him down. And they, in fact, shut him down. Shut it in.
He didn't shut him down. He couldn't go. There's a difference.
Oh, he couldn't?
Go.
So who needs to play in the finale? Obviously, we're going to see the youth still. We're going to see the young guys out there. We're going to see Bradley Chubb out there.
Derek McClendon needs to play.
I'm not talking about Derek McClendon anymore.
Why did they bring him up just to activate him? What was that?
Omar was like in love. Like, oh, it's about time they play the dude. You're going to see him.
I'm not talking about it anymore.
What was that? Why are you elevating him and then making him inactive? Like, that was so...
Mike said it was a game day situation, but then when you lost Chubb, you had nothing at pass rushing.
You lost Chop.
Chop. And now Chop has a concussion, so clearly he's going to play.
He ain't playing.
Maybe.
No.
But I think
Mike McDaniel has never played a guy week after he suffers a concussion. Never.
Well, I think we need to play everybody who's available to play. Nobody sits, because if you're working brotherhood playing for each other, your brother Chop needs you. Not Chop, but Chubb. He needs you.
On defense.
Defense, yeah.
Minka's not playing. You think Brewer's playing a week after
I think Minka might play. You don't mind it?
You think Brooks is trying to play, right, with his hand?
Yeah, Brooks is trying to play.
Well, because he wants that tackle title. And he's up by six over Devin White.
Tua trying to play.
He would. But he doesn't have it. He don't have it. He can't. Last one. Do the Dolphins need a top 10 draft pick? I think we've all talked about this.
11 now.
Is it?
They'll get there. They'll get there because let me go to Tankathon. They'll get there because they play the Patriots. Probably going to lose. And then the Chiefs are playing the Raiders. The Raiders are going to literally put their ball boy out there to play a quarterback. And then Cincinnati is probably going to win their game.
Plays who? New Orleans?
Cleveland.
They'll get the ninth pick because Atlanta is playing New Orleans. So they can't go to eight. So they'll get the ninth pick. That's where I think they'll end up.
No, they're ahead of Atlanta now. Based on
meaning, if Atlanta loses – And Atlanta's playing New Orleans, so they can't get ahead to the eighth pick.
You got me confused.
So if New Orleans wins, they go to 7-10, but then Atlanta goes to 7-10 as well. And then they have a different strength of schedule.
I don't think much of this matters because we're going to win.
There you go. Because Quinn Ewers is the greatest quarterback in the history of the NFL. By the way, you guys know what today is?
Just Dan Marino.
Three Allen. I'm not crazy. Just Dolphin
history. Holy crap.
Do you guys know what today is? It's the 25th anniversary of the Dolphins' last playoff win.
Yes. Happy anniversary, everyone.
Happy anniversary.
I was 13. I was 13 years old.
I was graduating from college.
We don't celebrate that anniversary. Okay.
13.
Last playoff win 25 years ago.
Was it 2000?
Yep.
It was the 2000 season, but it happened in 2000.
Yeah, I was a senior. No,
it was
December. It was the 99 season?
2000. No, December 30th, 2000.
Yeah. That's the math I was taking. I had like one class to take, and I was taking like golf, tennis, painting, and something else.
Just great student.
Just to keep my 12 hours.
But real quick, I'm pretty sure we're all in agreement that it's not about where you pick, it's who you pick, and we just need better talent evaluators. Unless anyone wants to add anything more, we'll get to the donations. But do you think we need a top 10 pick?
I'll add something. Not a difference between 8 and 11, really.
It is a difference between 8 and 11 when you're trying to sell that pick to get a player or sell that pick to get higher in the draft. It's a difference.
It's a very small difference.
It's
a little bit of a difference.
That single pick sells a lot better than a two-digit pick. Let me see the trade value. I think
8 to 11 is huge if you're willing to move off of the spot and move down. Ooh. Like take a mid-20 or something, that because you can get back a second or something in return with it.
8 to 11. It is 150 point value. So that's the equivalent.
Yeah, I was going to say, who made that? Jimmy Johnson?
That's the equivalent of the 88th pick in the draft. So a third round selection.
There are some who have suggested that Jimmy Johnson chart doesn't apply anymore because of the salary cap. So,
touche.
No, I would say that the draft value has more value because teams don't want to pay players what their current rates are. They just want to go young and get young cheap labor.
It's worth more than that, Omar, because somebody's moving up for somebody they want.
Mm.
They always give up a little more.
I've been told about 5 times this week this is a bad draft.
What did the Cowboys give up last year? One team that moved up in that range. You remember?
I'll look it up.
Yeah, it was one team that moved up
to get a second one to get Jackson Dart at what, like 21?
Atlanta moved in, but I don't care. We're going to use that on Lamar anyway.
You think so?
Is it when the Cowboys moved up to get Tyler Booker? No, they stayed at 12, right?
Somebody moved up in that range.
It doesn't matter.
Ahead of the Cowboys, remember?
We're looking forward, TD.
Yeah. Let's look forward to answering the
question. Anyway, shout out to everyone in the stream. We got 1,000.
Nice. Yay! Points.
Shout out to you guys. Be sure to like
the energy. You see the energy the team got right now?
We're only at 322 likes.
Had 1,000. We've broken 1,000 like the last eight podcasts.
No, we were down 2 weeks ago. It was like a somber moment.
I wasn't there.
Wasn't it like Thanksgiving week?
Something. It was a somber moment, but we back, baby. We got our franchise.
No B says, thought McDaniel should stay as long as Tua was the quarterback. The ship has sailed. What superpowers does he possess that can't be found elsewhere?
Play design, that's it.
I do have an answer, but I'm not answering that question.
Why not?
Because it will get me pounced on, and I don't want
to. I asked, no, we wouldn't do that. Much.
You to my left, I might hire. Ian,
you judging bastards.
Alan, I know you're Rain Man, but this question is for Omar. What second-year AFC quarterback now has more division titles than Tua and Herbert combined?
A guy who's still trying to prove he's good.
you're still not there, huh? Omar, you're going to get to see him in person again.
Oh, I know. We get to see him in person.
Maybe he can impress you for a change.
I hope not.
That'd be funny if he comes up to you. He's like, you think I'm good yet? That would just be hilarious. Hilarious. Ian also says, I don't want McDaniel or Kelly. Scorched earth. Give me a real GM search, not just promoting him to GM. Do it, Ross. No more half measures. Yes. 1,000%.
We are pros at half measures.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No more handing positions away. Legit competitions, please. At all positions.
No. Sorry. That's not the Mike McDaniel way.
Rick with the tenor. Appreciate you, Rick, for donating. Ian also says, so it's the goal of the team, the goal to keep the locker room or to win playoff games and championships. Because I don't care if you keep the locker room if you don't win.
Excellent point.
I put those claps in there for you, Ian. Rick with the tour says, do you trade Waddle and re-sign Achan? What cost? This is going to be – so this offseason, if you haven't yet, hit that subscribe button because it's going to be a fun time on this channel because we're going to talk about who should be traded. We're going to talk about free agency. We're going to talk
Waddle
about –
Waddle brought up a trade last week. Waddle brought up he was on the trade block last week. I remember that.
Mm-hmm. I know a team that loves Waddle.
Huh? If you guys remember, I don't know if you ever heard this. HM was on the Amon Ross St. Brown podcast, and he kind of suggested that he thought for a second Waddle was getting traded at the deadline, and then was all relieved when that didn't happen.
And Waddle confirmed when he said, "I mean, I was on the chopping block a week."
I was on the trading block. Yeah, no, he said it. I was just like, and I know I.
That by the way,
they're aware of things. They play dumb, but they're aware of things. So
I will say this: there is a top five team right now that loves Jalen Waddle.
That team under a coach who is now gone.
Oh, touche.
Well, Waddle was Miami, I believe that hurt his feelings to know.
And we don't know what the Giants are going to look like or what they're going to do. And trust me, Waddle is not worth the top five pick. I love Waddle.
Can package some picks together and then slide. It depends how things fall. Subscribe. It's going to be exciting.
Brian Flores wants Jalen Waddle back when he takes over as Giants head coach.
Brian Flores is not going to take over as Giants head coach.
They asked him today. They said, are you going to be back with the Vikings? And he was like, it's NFL.
He ain't going to the Giants.
If he isn't back with the Vikings, I think we've talked about this before. Send Tua up to Minnesota if Brian Flores ain't back with the Vikings.
Nobody is taking Tua.
No one's taking Tua. Raiders might.
No.
The Raiders are one of those organizations that
the Raiders might. Will not. The Raiders are going to pick Moore.
I think they go with Mendoza. I don't think Moore comes out.
That's not. If Pete Carroll's a quarterback, Pete Carroll's quarterbacks have a flavor. It's Moore.
When will Moore decide if he's coming out or not? When the season's
he's
over?
He's coming out. Don't believe the hype. He's coming out.
I saw somewhere this week rumblings that Pete Carroll might be one and done.
Yeah. I think he's one and done. But the question is who replaces him? And was Tom Brady involved in the Pete Carroll hiring?
Drama. Nolby says, did anyone else hear Bailey scream son of a beach on that shank punt at the 5:23 mark in the fourth quarter? Even commentators noticed. I got to say this, and I'll come out here, and I always admit when I'm wrong. I admitted when I was wrong about Austin Jackson. I think I admitted about Liam Eikenberg. I was a little too harsh. I was wrong about Bailey. I wanted that man gone. I wanted Stonehouse to replace him. I'm like, why is he still on the team? Bailey's been killing it this season. And then that tackle he made, I was dead wrong about Jake Bailey.
Riley Patterson has been killing it.
Yes. He's
about to break the record for who's the guy? Jason Sanders' record.
Does that make Sanders expendable?
Hell yeah.
He should have been expendable.
Cutting Sanders saves you $3.9 million.
He's getting a little bit of solid kicker money.
He's on my bye-bye list.
Wow.
You know, the Cowboys game sucks, but, you know, we live in the past. Like Lindo Mari, love him.
I have the Dolphins being able to easily create $52.3 million in cap space.
Yeah.
This offseason, which, you know, substantial money.
With Tua?
Huh? With Tua. Nobody's taking Tua.
And Tua's gonna cut him post June 1st. It's only $11 million. Tyreek Hill post June 1st.
No, you could take the Chubb. You only get two June 1st.
Yeah, I know. So do Tyreek and Tua move on from Tua? It's $11 million.
It's going to cost you $11 million, whereas Chubb will create $20 million.
Well, if you want to get rid of him, that's kind of
that's funny.
I mean, I don't know what's going to happen with Chubb.
Yeah,
it all depends on who the hell is here and running things. I don't know.
Yep,
it can't bring him back at that cap for that cap number.
No.
Said, got a name for the new Ewers cult following, the Quintets. Tets translate to heads in French.
I can confirm.
Hilarious. Key on my mind said, fans are scared to let Ewers in fear of disappointment. To like Ewers in fear of disappointment. Most praise him. Come on, Doug. I know you went to bed at 7:30 a.m., but get it together.
How many hours of sleep are you getting, Doug?
Three or four a night. It's rough. Most praise for him comes with a disclaimer. If Tyler Shuck is worthy, so is Ewers, I said.
Exactly.
I would like to say something. I was talking to one of my favorite evaluators. You guys know that Quinn Ewers was offered $2 million to go play at North Carolina, turned it down to go into the draft to make a total of maybe six for 4 years. That evaluator said it. If he had played at North Carolina, stayed in this draft, he would probably be a day two pick and would probably be ranked right up there, if not at the top of all the quarterbacks in this draft class, with the exception of Mendoza. And because everybody in this draft class has their warts or is a project, or, you know, even Mendoza, I'm not a huge fan of it. I like it, but I don't love it. It's not Cam Ward. And matter of fact, I had a conversation about Cam Ward. Like, everybody loves Cam Ward, even though that team sucks.
Yeah.
He's showing he can do things with nothing around him, which is big. And like I said, when I was
watching, that's where, if Tomlin does get free, the streets are saying Tennessee.
Interesting. That'd be an interesting spot. He gets his quarterback. Like I was saying, watching film, I even said it last week and I got ridiculed for it. I think I said it on Twitter, how he has a ridiculous release, Quinn Ewers. That play where he had that defender in front of him and he really quickly, and he threw a back shoulder. He made that throwing motion and threw a back shoulder to Dulcich so he didn't lead him into the defense. It was just, I was like, give this kid a chance. Have a legit competition. Don't hand it to him, but like, have a competition.
This organization hasn't had a quarterback competition since 2012, and it lasted a week.
Yep. Yeah. Garrard got hurt, and they were like, here you go, Tannehill.
And think about that touchdown throw over the middle. You remember?
Mm-hmm.
Usually that throw is thrown 2 seconds earlier on anticipation. He was able to say, I could see that's coming open, and actually fire it.
Also, shout out to Dulcich. Great catch. Got his hands out there, grabbed it. He needs to be re-signed. That's a guy who definitely needs to come back.
Nick Brady.
Hopefully. Numero uno. McDaniel down coming out of the half, 4-23. Terrible. That's coaching issues. If the wide receivers don't know where they should be, that's on coaching. Big donation. $100 donation from BP, bro. Shout out to you for the humongous donation. Did McDaniel abandon the run in Pittsburgh on purpose to expose Tua? Omar recently reported that Ross is out on him, I'm assuming. Hopefully so, but I'm curious to your opinion on that. I really want to know if/when Mike was out on Oos. Me personally, I think what the Steelers did is we're going to stop the run and have Tua beat us because he hasn't shown he could beat anybody with that arm, and that's what they did.
It's been like 4 weeks when Mike's tone changed in those practice. Yeah. You know, when you turn the football over, you can't win it. Like, usually it's all protection.
And they also had a 4-game winning streak before they flopped at Pittsburgh. So it's not like they weren't winning. They were winning, but they were winning doing things that didn't require a whole lot of heavy lifting from the quarterback position.
Garkup said Quinn is better than Tua, but neither is better than DC.
Who is DC? Who's DC?
Who's the DC?
I don't know.
Maybe he'll say it in the chat. I mean,
yeah. Finally able to donate.
Several real. That's finally right. Able to donate to you guys. Much love. Thank you for all you do. My question is, if McDaniel is kept, what are some moves you think to see the Dolphins? You'd like to see the Dolphins make? Happy New Year. Happy New Year to you, bud. We're going to do a whole video on that just because we don't have much time to go that in depth with this question.
We got a whole off season.
Yeah. We're going to talk about needs and all that stuff. But, you know, if McDaniel comes back, hopefully they shift his thought process, because if you remember him saying, I'll take a pass rusher in the first round if I can, small, short, fast receivers, yada yada, focus on the trenches, go back to his roots, which is the run game.
You know, they got two pass rushers under contract next year. Dos. I would like to make sure that Anthony Weaver comes back. If Anthony Weaver doesn't come back, you're in trouble. And not because he's such an excellent coach, but just because no real defensive coordinator is going to come here.
But you get 2 third-round picks if he gets a head coaching job.
Touche.
What if he takes another defensive coordinator job?
Then you're up.
Got it. I think we get it, in PG-13 movies, you can say the F word twice in the movie. And then if you say it 3 times, it becomes a rated R movie. So really, I didn't know that. You didn't?
Alan didn't know it.
I did not know that.
That's my degree. Hey, you know your Dolphin and football trivia. I got film. I got a bachelor's degree in it. So. Hey,
nice. There you go.
I can teach you guys some stuff. Beer money with the $1 donation. We appreciate you. But numero uno. Oh, my God. Can we stop with the Ewers crowning in comparison to great quarterbacks? He played good, but also has limitations. We need to keep drafting.
I see Chad Henne. So far.
Oh, no.
I do.
I see Tom Brady.
I mean, it's okay. I see Chad Henne so far. Like,
man. He can't help himself. My Lord, dude. Y'all,
y'all forgot Brady was a 7th-round pick.
No, we don't. Y'all know
Brady's two starts were not that. Brady didn't even throw over 100 yards.
I do have to admit, TD, he's got some moxie to him. Yeah. I like the little mock. And he's always had that. He's got presence. He's got charisma. Like, this guy has been the number one quarterback since high school, since like the 10th grade. Like, he walks with a swagger.
Mm. It's a cowboy boots.
Yep. Hey,
listen, 6 Lombardis later, you're going to realize.
We'll see, man. You said this about other quarterbacks.
We're not that lucky, team. I wish we were.
I ain't say this about nobody.
Do you want me
to name them? Hey, Escala was given the right opportunity.
Oh, God.
Since we basically know all the playoff teams, who do y'all have as your Super Bowl matchup?
Oh, wow.
That's a hard one. Let's just get through wild card. Or at least how about this? We'll give it to you next Tuesday after this last week. We'll tell you when the season's over. The title of the video will be, you know, the year in review of the Miami Dolphins, and we'll give you our Super Bowl prediction. So tune in next week. Finn's RK said, do you think the team has finally shed the soft label? If so, how can we maintain that? No. They need to. One of the things is have legit competition. Stop giving things away to people. That's one of the ways you have that soft mentality. Is, oh well, he was drafted in the second round. He was drafted in the 4th round. You get the start. You're a second rounder. Just
have guys compete.
Stop it. Jiffy says, is John Gruden in your guys' top 3 if we need a head coach?
Nope.
Nope.
Top 4.
Yeah, it's right outside. Black Ops said, Allen versus TD, who is a quarterback you're trying to sign this offseason to keep the ship afloat? We'll start with Allen. I never start with him. Allen, quarterback you're signing in this offseason. Tua's gone. Compete with Quinn Ewers. Keep the ship afloat.
Malik Willis.
Nice, nice. Omar?
3 first-round picks for Lamar Jackson and new contract, $65 million a year.
With Tua's money, so you're going to have like about $120 million of cap space devoted to quarterbacks next year.
I got Omar trying to backload it.
I mean, I could sign him for I could give him a $500 million. I mean, $50 million signing bonus. I got money.
Yeah, but I'm with Allen.
Yeah, me too. I have him compete.
Come in. Quinn is too early to re-sign him.
A lot of people too want to put him in the same boat as Matt Flynn, but Malik Willis is. Consistently been doing this. Flynn had that one big game.
Will not learn this offense at a fast rate.
Who?
Malik Willis.
Does he need to run this offense?
Correct. Thank you. You tweak it.
Please.
Will he though? Because Mike McDaniel's not tweaked the offense. Well, by the way, he's not
quarterback. Hold on. By the way, no. And sorry, I can't believe I didn't jump on this immediately. By the way. Green Bay Packers assistant coach Matt LaFleur, whose tree is his offense from?
Yeah. It's the same tree.
Okay, but thank you. Fine. It's not that different.
But what's supposed to use different language, different terminology? There's slight changes, but yes,
absolutely.
You're right.
But
and you know John Gruden runs the same offense too.
Yeah, the framework the same. There's no reason why Malik Willis couldn't handle it.
Ian said, my man Omar was still waiting on Tua to show it into year 6, but May winning the division and an MVP. Whoa.
Oh, he
won an MVP yet.
Stafford blew it last night.
We'll see.
Y'all think May getting an MVP?
Omar,
yeah, I do.
May getting an MVP? Hey,
you want to know your proof? You want your proof?
Yeah.
Go look at Lamar Jackson's numbers last year. Compared to Stafford this year, and go look at Drake Mays compared to Josh Allen's. You'll talk about the same situation. It's just
now. Here's my question.
No.
Here's my question. So if we go off of that, right? Do the people also look at the body of work? So like last night, it was a crap show by the Rams, right? But also you had Drake May facing the Jets. So it's like, do they look at this man just put up ridiculous numbers against the Jets versus
week 6 because he played a bad team and had 4 touchdowns or something?
Look at the Rams schedule. The Rams schedule was one of the toughest in the NFL, and Stafford has killed it against most of them. And Drake May, as much as I respect the dude, they have played an absolute garbage schedule. That's going to factor into it. Even though I think Stafford has more around him than Drake May does.
Way more.
The schedule has to matter.
Who's the number one seed in the NFC?
In the NFC, right now, winner of Seattle, Frisco.
Yeah. Because right now, I think the Seahawks are number one. I'll look it up.
Yeah, but
if Rams can't get it,
49ers win.
And who's number one in the AFC?
Denver.
Broncos.
Damn.
That's why we're playing at 4:00.
Drake May might win it. Jeez, Lord.
Fun fact, do you know that even if the Panthers lose, they could still make the playoffs if the Falcons win?
But I think the same Tyler Shook been doing his thing.
It's going to be interesting.
And y'all have to wait the next day. Even the Tampa Bay beats Carolina on Saturday, they'll have to wait until Sunday for that Atlanta-New Orleans result.
So Ian said, my man – oh, I already read that one. Let's go to the next one.
Ian also said, I respect the hate, Omar.
Yeah. You got to keep it consistent, man. Look, I have toilet paper with the patient.
In fairness, I've probably seen him play maybe 6 times. Maybe.
Drake May?
That should have been enough. That should be enough.
Depends the game. That boy with the tour, appreciate you. Garp Gump answers. He said, with DC. The $2 donation, he said, DC Dolphin Collective, you dorks. Sorry. Sorry.
What did he say about DC?
We're the best. We're better than it. He said Quinn Ewers is better than Tua, but neither is better than the Dolphin Collective. Sorry, we're a bunch of dumb dumbs. Hey, I got no sleep. I don't know what their excuses are, but I get no
sleep. We're dorks.
Doug, I remember those days.
And, oh my God!
You were a walking zombie.
And I want to say this. Well, I'm going to read this last one, then I want to say something. Keys on my mind. Poop needs to know the comp for Ewers was Pennington. Look it up. Interesting. Before we get out of here, obviously we'll see you guys Friday at 6. But I do want to shout out my fellow Dolphin Collectives, Omar Allen and TD. They have been incredibly helpful with me to have us do 6 to 7. It's a pain in the butt and we try to figure out a time, but I want to thank them live so everyone can hear that it's my fault we start at 6 because of the baby and I'm trying to help my wife. So I appreciate my guys being so accommodating for me. I love them. But yeah, go check out Omar Kelly, Miami Herald. Check out Alan Pupar at Miami Dolphins on SI. TD Finstalk, YouTube.com/TD Finstalk. Myself, YouTube.com/DudleyDoWrong. We will see you Friday in the new year, 2026.
Quinn Ewers, baby. We'll
finally get flying cars.
Quinn Ewers, number one.
We'll see you next year. I can get it in there now. Happy New Year's, everyone.
Happy New Year.